So far right, it's left. It's the news, according to me. Good Tuesday morning, May 7th, 6:51 a.m. in the a.m. I'm on vacation and it's 6:51 a.m. You know this has got to be important if I'm getting on this early in the morning. Actually, I have other things to do. Okay. Got an appointment at 8 o'clock. Got to leave at 7:30 and it's give me about 30 minutes for the show. Hopefully it won't take 2 hours to upload it, which happens occasionally. We got Tuesday morning. What is it here? What's going on here? We got a chance of rain today. That's about it. 2024. I don't think there's anything special going on May 7th, is there? Is this something awareness day? Something, I'm sure. Some kind of awareness. I think you should be aware of what day it is. That's about it. It's Tuesday. That's good enough. Okay, let's move on. I know what it is. It's cup awareness day. You need to be aware of what's in my cup. And it's chai. Yeah, I just got this morning. Amazon's kind of an amazing thing, actually. As evil as it is, it is kind of amazing. I ordered something yesterday. Got here today. Actually, I was here this morning. I think it showed up like 6 o'clock this morning. Must have been before that, actually. Must have been about 5:30. 8 coffee can-sized containers of chai. For me. I have this big train chai latte. Vanilla chai latte. It's very good. It's very good. And it's very good with Cinnabon creamer in it. So you can almost taste the goodness. You can almost smell the aroma as I'm sipping on it, can't you? That's good stuff. So anyway, and I have a backup cup. The backup cup's always a wild card. You never know what that's going to be. I had a lot of other things in my refrigerator, including hummingbird food, which I don't think tastes... I don't think I could confuse it with like Kool-Aid or anything. Not that I drank Kool-Aid. I drank Kool-Aid as a kid. I can't believe. Look at that stuff now. It's like, what is this? Kitty here is scratching away at the walls again. She doesn't think I'm petting her enough. So the backup cup this morning, it has, I have peach vibe. I think it's peach. No, it's tropical vibe. Tropical vibe Celsius water. I think it's kind of become a popular thing. Of course, Costco is selling it, so of course it becomes a popular thing. Which I guess it's like an energy drink. I didn't realize that had caffeine in it. I probably shouldn't be drinking it, but it's not that caffeine bothers me really, but it's just, it can't be that good for you. I don't drink even one a day, and I water it down so much with ice that occasionally I'll drink one whole can in a day. Typically, I put it in my cup and I keep icing it down, and I keep it in the refrigerator, but I typically, one can will last me several days. I kind of like it has kind of a refreshing flavor to it. If it didn't even have any caffeine in it, I'd still drink it. It's just not, that's pretty good. It just kind of has kind of a, it's one of those tart tastes, you know, it's like a refreshing kind of taste. It doesn't taste like, it's not that terribly sweet. It's more, you know, quenches your thirst rather than just. Anyway, let's move on. YouTube comments. What surprises me is I do a lot of YouTube commenting on YouTube videos. Because that's what they do, and I have to say, there are some really, and I don't. Please understand how I'm saying this. There's some ignorant people out there. Now, that by ignorant I mean. They just are they're not stupid. They're just uninformed or misinformed or disinformed. This morning, I woke up to a myriad of comments because of something I put on a post last night. And it's interesting how some people, you know, understand and agree, and then other people just, they spit out all the talking points, the reconstructionist of history. And one of the things that has really bothered me, here's the question. Now, Mussolini was known more as a fascist. He was kind of the, when people think of fascists, they think of Mussolini more than, probably almost as much more than Hitler. However, the whole thing about fascists. Now, this is my question for the fascists, the people who call everybody else fascists. Do fascists know they are fascists? Do they embrace fascism as I'm going to be a fascist. We're going to call ourselves the National Fascists Association. Okay, I'm just getting hard to say it if you say it too many times. Especially this hour in the morning. More chai. We have, this is the question I'd like to, ask people. And I ask myself this question. Were they really that unaware, or were they just totally, totally aware of what they were doing? They understand what fascism was, and that they were, by definition, that's what they were. When I hear of someone going around telling someone how they will speak, what words they can use, or they will be criminalized for saying or doing something, or they have to repeat after me, you have to say this, or you're a fascist. No, actually, you're the fascist. It's the absolute control and suppression of anything, of any kind of individual. It is for the group cause, for the sake of the greater good. It's a pretty sounding thing. But when it's forced upon you, it's one thing to willingly do it. Now, think about this: the early church, no one called anything their own. They lived in a communal society, but it was by choice. There was no dictator, over them, telling them they had to do anything. And of course, people bring up Ananias and Sapphira. They hid some land that they had or they sold, and however you want to say it. They were hiding some things from the church. And Paul confronted them. And the reason they died right there before him was because they lied. They lied about it. They lied to the Holy Spirit and died. It wasn't because of what they did. Now, we could go on and on about that. That's a whole month of Sundays right there in learning some things and questioning some things and understanding what's going on there. However, that was a communal society, and it was voluntary. When a dictatorial leadership, even if it's democratic socialism, Bernie Sanders would argue that democratic socialism is okay because people voted in. We want socialism because we're voted in. And yet at its core, socialism is evil. It absolutely is. Now, we're not talking about communism. We're not in the sense of being in a commune where you give up everything for the sake of the group that you're with for a common goal, common good. That's, and again, it's voluntary. This is when it is imposed upon you as a government. Much like democracy, pure democracy is majority rule, which becomes mob rule. An individual who has rights when the mob decides, well, public opinion polls say that 51% of the people want this, so therefore, this is the way it's going to go. No, that's not the way it works. 51% of the people decide that 49% of the people need to be put in prison or excommunicated or moved to some... You can't have that. Even if 99% of the people decide that 1% of the people are going to have their rights taken away, or we're going to have special rights over someone else, or those 1% don't get their rights. You don't take those away without due process. Due process means a fair trial that's held up with the law, not some kangaroo court where they decide ahead of time that you're guilty. You're going to have a fair trial and then hang. That's not legitimate government. It's not justice. It's just mob rule. Well, I had this argument, you might say, disagreement with someone in the comments. And I rarely respond. People usually respond and they'll say things, unless they say things that are just not right or whatever they say. Or they make just comments that are just, they have no substance whatsoever. They just call me names. Or they'll, you know, most of the time they agree with me. I actually get a lot of good responses from people on the comments I get, that I give. And what amazes me is that if I post a video on YouTube, nobody sees it. I get zero views. Nothing. Amazing. And I was just looking at statistics this morning a little bit on the podcast here. And it just, of course, now listenership right now, again, is up. I don't know what happened about a week ago. It was down, huge down. It just, it's almost disappointing. It was like frustrating to see it down so low. And now it's back up again. On a consistent basis, as high as it's been. And it's just weird. I know sometimes the algorithms, they don't catch the listenership either sometimes, but depending on what platform people are watching it on, listening to it. But the statistics, they're interesting on YouTube. It's just because you get so, oh, what's the word? Shadow banned, whatever, however it is, throttled back. And in my case, it's completely shut down, in my opinion. They don't promote my stuff at all on YouTube. Now, it's probably been over a year since I posted anything on YouTube. It wasn't this year. I haven't posted anything on YouTube this year. Now, Rumble's a whole other thing. I really need to get a bit active on Rumble and start doing some regular shows on there. Because I do believe the algorithms are pretty fair on Rumble. I've, from what I've understood and what I've seen, if I were consistently on Rumble every day, I would probably start developing what I started to develop with YouTube there for a while. It was actually, you know, back in the day, many years ago, it was before 2016, started to develop a pretty good following. And then, all, you know, I had a lot of subscribers. The views were ticking up. And then all of a sudden, it just went down to almost nothing. And then there was this consistent, you know, 12, 13, 14 people watching. And then it just went to nothing. And no subscribers. Zero. Now, I don't know how many of you unsubscribe just to things, but statistically, there are people who never unsubscribe. They subscribe to things and they never unsubscribe. Now, I rarely unsubscribe anything unless somebody really ticks me off. So you'd have to really, you know, to think that there's that many people out there that all unsubscribed me for having regular, just the normal content of shows. It just wasn't anything, weird about it. Just fascinating to me. Nonetheless, I will continue to press on. Here's the thing. The comment that I made was actually a comment to someone else's post. Someone posted about my initial comment. Actually, it was a comment to the person posted a comment to my comment, and I commented on their comment, which we commented. So that's why I'm commenting on it now. This guy was on, and if you know who Valuetainment, there's a channel called Valuetainment, which is actually Paul, Bet David, what's the guy's name? Paul, what is his name? I never can think of it. Is it PBJ? I don't know. Peanut butter jelly. Something like that. I don't know. It's about David, but I can't remember what's his first name. Anyway, it was on he's got this channel called Valuetainment, and he's got this panel of people on there typically that are, and it's a pretty diverse panel. It's one of the guys on there, I think he claims he's Jewish, but he's a what I would call it a secular Jew. Of course, he uses that to his advantage. He uses it as, because I'm always right. About Jewish stuff, because he's Jewish. So he's really a lot more left than he would like to. He thinks he's libertarian. He's actually, there is a very dangerous type of libertarian. It's called a social libertarian. I'd never heard of this until somebody told me they were one. Most libertarians will not understand what they are. A social libertarian is a socialist. It is a communist. The social libertarian movement, and this is the problem with libertarians. I consider myself more libertarian than Republican, but I'm a conservative libertarian. I'm more of a Ron Paul libertarian, constitutional individualist who believes in libertarian stuff. However, the Libertarian Party, I have nothing to do with them. I like the concept and I like what they're trying to do. I do not agree with their platform. And there's so many things that they do that are out wacky stuff. And why are you going there? That they take things to some weird ideological extreme sometimes. And it's like, I cannot align with that. So as a party, as the official party, Libertarian Party here in the United States, at least in my state. Now, what's amazing to me is they will accept me not agreeing with them. That's what I like about the Libertarian Party. I could step in, I could be a leader in the Libertarian Party, and they could disagree with everything I say and still be a part of the party. I could still be in the party. Of course, the party is so small that they can't afford to lose a member. So they would probably, you could walk in there and be completely opposed to them, and you'd probably, you're still welcome here. Please don't go. Please don't go. There's only seven of us. So I don't know. It's just kind of a different kind of perspective. But nonetheless, I had this this interesting this cat is being silly. She's just so cute and so precious. Can't stop petting her. My first comment was this guy was on there. I can't remember this guy's name. He's one of the main panelists. He's always on there. He's got nothing else to do. And he was talking about the far right, the alt right, far right, whatever you want to call them in this country. He goes, I'm just appalled by the far right in this country. The Nazis, the white supremacists. No. Excuse me? Why has it become this? How did this happen? That the far right has been associated, the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists, the white nationalists, they call them. That's a term that they just made up. That was never a thing. And anybody who's white and waving a flag is a white nationalist, basically, according to them. Which is just, it's a long, then they throw it into the basket with all the other deplorables, they would call them, of being racist and homophobic and all the other things. Anti-Semitic. Islamophobic. All those things. However, this is not the far right. And I pointed out to this, I made kind of quite a long post about it. It was, I know, not super long, but it was, wasn't just one sentence or one comment. It wasn't just, oh, you're stupid. I basically said that the Nazi party, the Nazi stands for the National Socialist German Workers' Party. They were socialists. The right in this country, the conservatives, the Republicans, whatever you want to call them, the people on the right who want conservative government, who want smaller government, would have nothing to do with them. They'd be totally opposed, and yet somehow they've managed to attach this far-right thing to Nazism. They were the fascists. They were the socialists. And it was dictated upon them to be socialists. They were told what to say, how to say it. Political correctness gone amok, but it wasn't called political correctness then. But I guarantee you that's exactly what, it's in their documents. And then someone made the comment. I was reading through the comments of this whole thing after I made it. And one of the people said they aligned themselves with the Catholic Church. They were aligned with the Catholic Church. I know this to be a flat-out lie. So I dug up some documents, actual copies of documents, online. And I posted a link to those documents and I said, here is the evidence that you speak of. And all it talks about is how the Nazis and the party, there were other factions around the Nazi party. It wasn't just the Nazis. Nazis only made up about 40% of the population there, officially. The way the Nazis suppressed and oppressed Catholic, Protestant, especially Protestants, by the way, but Catholics, Protestants, and other groups, religious groups, Christian groups. The Nazis were not Christians. And I think that's what I actually put into one of my comments, was something about something to the effect of they were not Christian, the Nazis were not Christians. They were not far right and they were not Christians. And yet somehow this label gets pushed upon it's folks, disinformation is very powerful. And somehow it gets pushed into this label, this box, and I don't understand it. I don't know how it works. There's something about it, you know. And I usually look to a little deeper than just the mental state of people doing this. There's a spiritual state in some of this stuff. And right away, my thoughts go to how Jesus was tempted by Satan after 40 days in the wilderness. He fasted for 40 days. And on his last day, that's when the enemy really attacked him with all these temptations. And every time he said, doesn't Scripture say this? Doesn't Scripture say that? Same way he tempted Adam and Eve. Why did God say this? Did God say that? Well, did God really say this? This is the temptation that we get by the enemy who likes to twist the truth. Oh, he'll throw the truth out there with a twist on it. The one who twists the truth for their gain is exactly the spirit of the enemy. And if we can't recognize that, so many times that happens. It comes to tempt us with, well, it always ends up with compromise. And that is a slippery slope that you slide right into the hole. And then it's no getting out of that ditch. So, there was this argument. It went back and forth just a couple times. And I basically ended up posting this link to these documents that officially showed the position of the Nazis, their position against the church, churches. They were not a Catholic organization. They were not a Christian. Hitler was not considered a Christian. Now, did he try to infiltrate the Christian churches and the Catholic Church with propaganda? Absolutely he did. Oh, we don't see that today, do we? Don't see any churches, you know, hanging rainbow flags or Gaza flags out in front of their churches, out in front of their buildings. Speaking of which, I want to change. I'm going to take a left turn here, just real quick. I only have a few minutes, but the interestingly enough, there's this movement now. There's this movement with crazy cat. There's this movement where people are showing up to some of these protests, and they're walking in with flags. U.S. flags, by the way. The flag that should be flown in this country. Higher than any other. And they're drowning out these protesters, the anti-Israel protesters, with chants of USA, USA. That's all. No, that's they're shutting them down. This is what it's going to take. Now, unfortunately, this kind of activity could, this is the kind of thing that's going to happen with this, if civil war ever breaks out, it's going to be really bad for the other side because they have no backbone whatsoever. But, and there's not really as many of them as you think. And there was one other point I wanted to make about this whole Gaza thing. When anybody approaches you with these questions of, is Israel, is it genocide? This is genocide. Israel's doing a genocide in Gaza, from the river to the sea, whatever they say. Just ask them this one question. You can find out exactly where they are. Should Israel have a right to exist? Should Israel exist? Now, depending on how radical they are, they'll answer this question one of two ways. They'll either say there should be a two-state solution. Israel, of course, Israel should exist, but they should allow Palestine to exist as well. There should be a two-state solution. There are so many pitfalls to a two-state solution, and I don't have time to get into them today. But at the same time, you almost have that with Gaza. It's like, okay, you guys have your thing. You have your own government over there. You elected Hezbollah. Okay, that's great. Or Hamas, I'm sorry. I'm on the other side, Hezbollah. So So Hamas is your choice for leadership there. And they are anti-Israel. They want Israel gone. They want the Jews, I should say, the Jews gone. If it was up to them, they would have zero Jews in all of Israel, in all of what they call Palestine. And you have to understand, that is genocide. There are Muslims living in Israel. How many Jews do you think live in Gaza? How many Jews do you think would live in Israel if the government, if Hamas and Hezbollah were in charge of Israel? They don't agree that Israel has a right to exist, period. So they will either answer the question with a, yes, they have a right to exist, but it should be a two-state solution, blah, 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 blah. Those are the reasonable ones who are just misinformed about what a two-state solution would mean. The radical wackos will say, no, they don't have a right to exist. They don't belong there. Those are the radical wackos. They have been brainwashed into believing that Israel never was, that the Jews were never there. That it's always been Muslim. See, there's a strong belief in the, this is predominantly in Muslim faith, that when Jesus returns, he will be a Muslim. They believe in a second coming. Many of them believe in a second coming. They really did, arise. He's going to come back. He's going to come back as a Muslim. There's been some interesting things I've kind of noticed in Scripture that are just like tucked away in all these little tiny places. And I've learned to really watch details in Scripture because of some of the study that I've done with the Judaic roots kind of movement type thing that I'm involved in now. My wife and I are kind of, we go to this Judaic roots thing on Friday evenings. And it's been very, blows your mind with the details, how much God is involved in the details. And all these different layers of understanding that there are, and it goes way beyond our ability to comprehend sometimes. But it was just, somebody was preaching the other day, and I was listening to him, and I just happened to continue on reading because it was just something that was just a little bit further into the story. He talked about this story and went so far, which was good enough for what his message was about. But I read the next paragraph. I read the next two verses, and something really shocked me in there. I'll talk about it more tomorrow. But it was interesting. It was a whole interesting comment about why Jesus separated himself from the people. This one point. And I don't think I've ever really noticed that before. How can somebody live 60 years pretty much growing up in the Christian faith and having read the Bible? First time was, I was in third grade, read the whole New Testament. It's like 8 years old, 7 years old. And missed that. How many times have I read it and missed that? It's just, for some reason, just plopped off the counter there, right there. Pretty interesting stuff. So that's all the time I have today, folks. The week is trudging on. Tomorrow will be midday, or midweek, I guess, Wednesday. I will have some more material. Tomorrow morning should be an interesting show. I'm going to have some sound bites, I think, if I can pull them together. At one point sometime this week, I'll have some sound bites. Normally, those are on Friday, but I'm not sure how Friday's going to go. So in the meantime, just keep praying for the nation. keep drinking your chai. And I'll keep drinking my chai. Don't drink too much chai, because then I can't find it. But I do have 8 cans of it now. 9, actually, if you count the one I got. So, folks, keep praying for the nation. Pray for each other. Pray for our leaders. And continue to look with a critical eye. God bless everybody. Have a great day.